Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Albany Academy's Albany Academy for Girls and the Albany Academy are committed to developing the potential of the whole individual student by building a community that fosters scholarship and leadership and character and service and creativity. And they've been doing that for 200 years. They are preschool through grade 12 independent college preparatory single gender schools that have been producing leaders of the Capital Region, the state of New York, and the world at large for those 200 years. Now, united into a single institution, the schools follow an innovative model of single gender education from pre-K through the 10th grade in a coordinate program in the final 2 years in preparation for college and beyond. Today, the Albany Academy for Girls will have a Founders Day celebration. Head of the school, Doug North, joins us to tell us more. Doug, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Congratulations.
Well, good morning, Joe. It's nice to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about Founders Day and what ultimately this means for the Albany Academies.
Well, it's it does two things. It's a celebration of the first 200 years of Albany Academy for Girls, and at the same time, it's the beginning of the third century of that school. So we're sort of Janus-faced, I think, both looking backwards and celebrating its past, and at the same time, we're looking forward to the next century.
What do you think is the key to success here of having been around for 200 years?
Well, I would say that any school that's going to last 200 years has got to change with the times. So it's really its ability to reconstruct itself and to go with the changing notions of what preparatory means. Because as society changes, the job of preparing people, preparing young women for lives in the century that lies ahead has always been the job of Albany Academy for Girls. But of course, that's been a different thing. So you have to be able to change, but you have to be able to keep the sacred threads that really are your mark of distinction along the way. So you have to take sacred threads and weave them into new garments.
So with that said, what is the current state of preparatory?
Well, if you... I don't know if you have read, perhaps, Thomas Friedman's fairly recent editorial in the New York Times about how to get a job at Google.
Yes.
I think that's very interesting, and I think it has a lot of importance to say, because what it basically says is that the century that lies ahead is the entrepreneurial century. And so when they hire an employee, it's going to be based on what is their state of mind. Are they a questing kind of personality that always wants to try to invent the new with other people, and who can both have a great new idea and at the same time step back and say, oh, well, you have a great idea also. Let's run with that for a while. So it's alternating leadership, followership, basically being able to visualize a future that's different from what it is now, able to make a plan, try it out, learn from your failures, your successes, and eventually come up with something new. And there is some question as to whether a standardized form of education can actually do that.
Right. And the point that Friedman makes in the editorial is in quoting some people saying, well, certainly good grades don't hurt, but they're not the entire equation. There's other skills here that have to be included in the total package.
The phrase that sticks out for me is that you have to know your stuff, but you have to know what you can do with it. It's right. Not just what you know. It's what you can do, and that's what's important.
And leadership is also very important, and leadership is important in your curriculum.
Yes, it is. So actually, what you read from at the beginning was a mission statement that has been recently superseded by one that says that our goal is to instill in students the knowledge, character, and abilities for personal success in the entrepreneurial century that lies ahead. So we've jumped into that camp.
And this goes with society, meaning that a graduate from 50 years ago basically comes out prepared very similarly than a graduate of today, in that because that mission is still basically the same. I mean, it's tweaked a little bit, but by the same token, you prepared them for what the situation was 50 years ago, and you're preparing current classes for what the situation is right now.
Yes. In fact, I happen to have something here, since you just said that, that goes back quite a bit further than 50 years.
Okay.
This goes back to 1833.
That's farther, sure.
Okay, that's a lot farther. Now we're getting back towards the founding year of Albany Academy for Girls. It changed a lot in its first decades. By 1833, they pronounced their educational goals, and they said, "Being fully sensible that the grand object of education is not so much to store the memory with what others have written as to strengthen and expand the mind of the pupil and prepare it for future higher attainments, it's the steady aim of the teachers in these several departments to address the understanding of the scholar and let the several lessons of the textbook, as far as circumstances will permit, furnish merely the matter for the illustration of the subjects pursued. The school avoids a superficial acquaintance with mere textbooks to prepare students for future usefulness and to teach them how to investigate for themselves."
Mm.
That's a remarkable, that's one of the most remarkable statements in American education, that that was the educational philosophy in 1833 of Albany Female Academy.
And women were at the central role of putting that academy together?
I think originally so, because there was the husband of Ebenezer Foote was in some ways the founder, but he did so at the instigation of his wife, who was very concerned about women's education. So many of the early heads of school and so on were drawn actually from the faculty of colleges. And then they would take that position, and then sometimes they went on to be presidents of other colleges. So it was very highly linked with what we call today higher education. But no, there was a regular succession of heads of school, most of whom were men.
When it comes to single gender education, we're still arguing about this as to whether of whether this is a good thing, a bad thing. It works for some, doesn't work for all. How do you? I mean, obviously, you offer that choice, and it's and it is something that is sought after by many people. And I'm curious as to what what new data and science tells us, and how we should approach this.
Well, the original arguments were launched principally by women's education, that it's better for women to be in an educational setting by themselves, because the influence of boys was to trivialize and have the girls not have them think that it's not cool for girls to be smart, because that's not what girls are supposed to do. And so by themselves, that would be removed, and they would attain what they could attain and would attain without that distraction. Now, boys' single gender education was really the default position of education. Education was for boys, and so many, many schools were for boys only. But the data that is now most interesting to me is the fact that it's out there in American education broadly considered, it's not cool for boys to be smart, and they shrink back from leadership, and it's girls who, it's cool for girls to be smart, boys don't do that anymore. So we have, to some extent, reversal of the pendulum in this respect, but I think that it's unquestioned in my mind that all the leadership positions, for instance, at the Albany Academy are occupied by boys. all the leadership positions at Albany Academy for Girls are occupied by girls. And when single-gender education has done its work through the 10th grade, then 2 years in which of preparation for a world that mixes the genders and colleges that mix the genders is entirely appropriate, too.
When in celebrating this Founders Day, tell us a little bit about what's going on and how, I mean, 200 years, I mean, that's a really amazing thing.
It's an amazing thing. Yes, it is. And it's actually both schools located across the street from each other that are 200 years old. There's the Boys Academy, its equivalent of Founders Day, Charter Day, was a year before. However, the Girls Academy actually began its classes almost immediately in May of 1814. The boys took longer because they built the Academy building, which is down in Academy Park in Albany, and didn't actually begin to hold classes until 1815. So it's the two schools. That's one of the things that's really remarkable. So our bicentennial is for both. However, this is specifically the birthday of Albany Academy for Girls, February 24th, 1814. So today we do have a get-together and celebration that's happening at Albany Academy for Girls, and there will be speakers and celebrations and singing of happy birthday, as well as the school song Classic Columns, which refers to a building on Pearl Street in the 1840s, which was forced to be torn down. So it reaches back and celebrates the past. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, this evening at 6 o'clock, there will also be a reenactment of a New York City salon. So people will be in salon garb talking about the issues of and arts of the days then as well as now.
The Albany Academy celebrate Founders Day today. Doug North is the head of school for the Albany Academies. Doug, I thank you so much, and thank you for the great work you do in the community.
Well, thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Thank you
very
much.
This is a great community in which to have the oldest school for the higher education of women.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much. You can find out more information by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Doug North, thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.